Yes.
Instead of really wanting but they didn't have to build the best railroad at all.
Yes. And the 1 year away isn't good. I saw this. You got one in here. Hey, John. That's your brother?
Huh?
That's your brother?
He's not here.
He's in
Jamaica. Or Jamaica?
Oh, I was just telling the fact that I'm no,
not halfway.
Did you meet them both?
Not yet.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
She may have talked to me today. She may have talked to their lawyer today, so we're going to find out. Probably an executive session.
How you doing?
Is everyone ready?
Ready.
Okay. Evening, everyone. Welcome tonight to our April 22nd, 2024 regular city council meeting. You'd all please rise for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing upon this city and wisdom as our city council makes its decisions tonight. And now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Again, I'd like to welcome you. We're going to have swear in a new police officer, and we have some other items to discuss. But before that, I'd like to go to item 1D, which is tonight the citizen input segment of our city council meeting. Is there anyone here who would like to address the city council? Yes, Jake Mendez.
Oops. I'm Jake Mendez Jr. I'm a civil rights activist and an ACLU of Washington member. Earlier today, me and the mayor spoke regarding Officer Claudio Garza III. Regards to stopping me of a wrong description that he got from dispatch. And since I asked the mayor if he had seen the video of the full audio of the dispatch and the Othello Police Chief Assistant Aaron Garza, he said no. So let me just play an audio clip of that beginning clip of the dispatch to Officer Claudio Garza III.
Advised that a male attempted to flag down a person in a vehicle, was in the roadway, and then left in the direction behind the what used to be the wildlife building. Jacket, blue jeans, possibly intoxicated.
You know that you heard that for transparency. Later on in the video, which I'm not going to play it, but it takes a while. But anyways, while this was going on, I wasn't even in the air as what was reported. I have a screenshot of my time at Anytime Fitness while this was going on. I was not out there. For full disclosure, what I was wearing was black sweatpants, a black sweater with a black t-shirt over it with red lettering. Now that's not described as someone wearing a black jacket or blue jeans. So why would Officer Claudio Garza III stop me anyways? First of all, he didn't ask if I was drunk or in the middle of the road. He asked if I was lost. Second, he stated on camera, which I recorded, just for everyone out there, that I recorded, he stated that he got a report of someone in all in black. All in black what? Jacket, sweatshirt, the bathrobe, what? All in black what? But he couldn't clarify that to me. So the reason why I wanted to do this, state this public comment to spread awareness and hold our public servants of the law accountable for their actions. And obviously, speaking with the mayor, it pretty much determines you pretty much don't want to get involved or do anything with it. I understand that. That's fine. I fully respect that. That's reassuring. Next time when it comes to election, I know what to do on my end. So just for the community, just to be aware, and plus he didn't have a body camera on when he stopped me. So just put for that for the record. And lastly, I want to say, I just want to thank Police Chief Assistant Aaron Garza for the interview that he had with the complainant to clarify that he later stated within 3 days that it turned out to be a brown jacket and blue jeans, which once again, I stand corrected. It was a wrong description anyways. But that's all I wanted to say. Appreciate your time. And let's hold our public servants accountable for their actions and record them if they're not willing to utilize their body cameras. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mendez. Is there anyone else who would like to address the City Council tonight? Okay, seeing none, I'll move to item 1E, which is roll call. Tonight, all members are present except for Councilman Corey Everett. He's asked to be excused. I'd entertain a motion to excuse Councilman
Everett. I'll make that motion to excuse Corey.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Like to move to the approval of tonight's agenda.
Make that motion to approve tonight's agenda.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now move to our consent agenda, item 3. I'll make the
motion for consent agenda. Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Next on our agenda is our current business, and our first item is the swearing in of Officer Derek Garza. I'd like to call Officer Derek Garza to the front, please. Welcome, Derek. This is an exciting time for you. It's an exciting time for the city and your family. And we're honored to have you here tonight to swear you in as a newest police officer to the city of Othello. And so I'd like to read a little bit about Derek, and then I'll have the swear-in ceremony. And then I'll call up Police Chief David Rim. He's going to say a few words, and then we'll have the pinning of your, what do you call it? Is it the badge? I don't know if it's the badge. Is it the badge? Okay, it's the badge. All right. So Derek grew up here in Othello, and he attended Scutney Springs Elementary as well as McFarland Middle School. His favorite sport was wrestling, although he does enjoy basketball. He loves spending time with his family and going on trips and being in the outdoors. Derek became a police officer because he enjoys challenges and he wanted to make a difference in the community that he grew up in. He graduated from Chihuahua High School in 2017 and then moved to Bellevue. And in November of 2023, he graduated from Basic Law Enforcement Academy. He's excited to be a part of the Othello Police Department, and we're excited to have Derek be a part of this great police department and police city. If you'll please raise your right hand, Derek, face the audience. Repeat after me. I, Officer Derek Garza, do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the laws of the state of Washington, and the charter and ordinances of the city of Othello. Othello, Washington, and abide by the law enforcement code of ethics, as adopted by the Othello Police Department, that I will faithfully and honestly and impartially perform and discharge the duties of a police officer during my continuance as such. So help me God. Congratulations, Derek. Welcome to the Othello Police Department. So now we're going to make it official. We're both going to sign. Police Chief David Rim, would you please come forward? So that we give Derek a chance to say a few words too.
I want to first say congratulations, officer. Proud to have you with us. Another McFarland Junior High graduate joins the team. Way to go. Things I need you to remember. I need you to be safe and I need you to ride for the brand. You are now a member of a team and there's a lot of expectations with that. I've already seen good things. I'm proud of you. Keep it up. But the hire of Officer Garza here, this completes the department. We are full, both in dispatch and on the road. We got a good summer coming. Congratulations.
Hi. I want to say thank you to all my family and everyone being here. It means a lot to me. I look forward to serving the community and giving back in every way that I can and being able to have the ability to do my job the best way that I can. So that's the promise I give to my brothers, the city, and everyone in this room. So thank you.
It is a tradition within our department for a pinning, and tonight your fiance will be pinning.
Stick out.
That was a, that's always an honor. It's exciting. And now that we have a full department, I know Chief Rim is excited about that and the whole department. So I'm going to move along in our agenda. And our next item, 4B, is a legislative end of session report. And tonight, Holly Sanabria, sorry, Holly, our lobbyist, our state lobbyist, she's here to give an end of session report. So Holly, will you please address the council and the public?
Yes, happy to do so. Good evening, everyone. I'm Holly Sanabria, a state lobbyist for the city. It's great to be with you all tonight to provide a report on the 2024 state legislative session. And if I could, if the PowerPoint is pulled up, oh, it is going right now. Great. Okay, we can just skip to the second slide when you get there. So I plan to cover four topics in tonight's update. The first is an overview of the 2024 session, and the second will cover the outcome of the city's legislative priority, and next, some additional legislative issues worth highlighting. And lastly, I'll wrap up with some next steps as we prepare for the 2025 legislative session. Did we lose the presentation?
Yeah, stand by, Holly.
No worries. Great, so we can get to the third slide. Yeah, that works. It looks fine. All right, so just to provide some context, the legislature operates on a two-year cycle that aligns with the state's biennial budgets. And this year was the second session of the 23-25 biennium, meaning it was the short session of the two, lasting 60 days, beginning on January 8th and ending on time on March 7th. And for a short session, the legislature focuses on adopting supplemental budgets by making amendments or adjustments to the previous budget that passed in 2023. And this includes the operating capital and transportation budgets. There were a little over 1,100 bills introduced during the 2023 session that were not passed into law and were carried over for consideration during the 2024 session. And in addition to those bills that carried over, an additional 1,560 bills were introduced. And of these, the legislature passed 376 bills into law. The Democrats continue to hold the majority in both the House and Senate. And a new dynamic this short session was the introduction of six initiatives to the legislature. The initiatives are bills that are sponsored by Washingtonians and are ideas submitted to the legislature for their consideration. And the legislature had three options when presented with an initiative. They can adopt it as presented, they can adopt a different version, and both the original and the legislature's version go on the ballot, or they can take no action and the initiative goes directly to the ballot. For three of the initiatives, the legislature chose to adopt the following as presented. So vehicular pursuits, which allows an officer to engage in vehicular pursuit if they have reasonable suspicion that someone has violated the law. And this is essentially a rollback of the legislation passed last session. Parental rights around medical, academic, and disciplinary information on their children, and prohibition on state local income tax, which local governments do not impose income taxes that are now prohibited. And then for the remaining three, the Climate Commitment Act repeal, long-term care opt-out and the capital gains repeal, they chose to do nothing and let the voters decide in November. So with that quick recap, I'll share a bit about the budgets. We can go to the next slide, please. Thank you. As I mentioned, there are three budgets the legislature focuses on, which are the operating, capital, and transportation budgets. The short session is dedicated to passing those supplemental budgets, so making adjustments to the budget passed in 2023. So moving to the first budget, the operating budget is the largest of the three. It funds all state agency operations, with the largest expense being the K-12 education system. The February revenue forecast, which is the forecast that was used to develop the supplemental budget, predicted a $1.2 billion increase in state revenue beyond the level expected when the biennial budget was adopted. So the supplemental budget allocated an additional $2.1 billion, bringing the biennial operating budget to $71.9 billion. And I think it's helpful to recognize that the biennial budget was at $69 billion and the supplemental was $2 billion. So that's how small of a budget the supplemental is compared to the underlying budget. One significant outcome of the supplemental budget for many local governments is an elimination of the 25% cost share requirement for jurisdictions sending new recruits to the Basic Law Enforcement Academy, so BLEA. This will take effect in the new state fiscal year starting July 1, and it also includes $34 million allocated to local governments for homelessness and housing programs and services. Moving on to the capital budget, this budget funds public and nonprofit construction projects, excluding transportation, and structurally it's funded by bonds that derive from a portion of the operating budget. The supplemental budget is $1.3 billion, bringing the biennial capital budget to $10.3 billion. The additional capacity primarily comes from Climate Commitment Act funds, federal funds, and the model toxins control account. And there was very limited remaining bonding capacity for the supplemental. And because much of the revenue comes from the Climate Commitment Act, much of it is not available until January 2025 and is contingent on the failure of Initiative 2117. There was $72.5 million allocated to local community projects, which is the category the city has received funds through. The size of awards in a supplemental year is traditionally very small, and this year was no exception. The average appropriation was $372,000. Notable investments in the supplemental capital budget include $127 million for the Housing Trust Fund and over $100 million in behavioral health facilities around the state. And lastly, the transportation budget funds the state's transportation system, obviously, which includes highways, ferries, active transportation, transit, and all transportation-related state agencies. And this was by far the most constrained of the three, and budget writers had the greatest challenge agreeing on this budget. The supplemental budget allocates an additional $1 billion, bringing the biennial budget to $14.6 billion, and most of this new spending is directed to a handful of areas, including cost overruns on two mega projects. That includes the 520 bridge and I-405, fish barrier removal, capital improvements to ferries, and highway preservation. The new spending comes from federal funds, Climate Commitment Act revenue, and Advanced Move Ahead Washington revenues, and traditional transportation revenue sources like the gas tax and license permits and fees are down by 8% since the biennium began. So a lot to unpack here, but that is just a really quick rundown of the supplemental budgets that passed this session. And we can go on to the next slide. So this session, we continued to prioritize the city's water supply project. And for the short session, when funding availability is pretty limited, the city requested $400,000 from the capital budget to go towards the design of the city's water treatment plant. So as you may recall, we received $400,000 last session for the pre-design phase of this project. And the city's legislative delegation continues to be in strong support of this effort, along with the 9th legislative delegation. I'll also just note Senator Schessler is currently serving as the ranking member on capital budget, and his leadership has been extremely helpful to our efforts as well. Senator Torres and Rep. Sandlin took the lead on this request in particular. So the final budget ended up including the $400,000 requested this session. So great news there, and a very successful two-year state budget cycle for the city of Othello. We can go ahead to the next slide. Thank you. I'll just highlight a few other areas the legislature tackled this session. For public safety, the legislature continues to grapple with how best to balance police accountability with public safety. And within the Democrat caucus, some legislators want to advance more police accountability and reform measures, while others would prefer to modify previously enacted reforms and invest in hiring more law enforcement personnel. And this divide only allowed for modest public safety proposals to really pass this session. As I mentioned previously, the legislature adopted Initiative 2113, allowing police officers to engage in vehicular pursuit if they have reasonable suspicion to believe that someone has violated the law. I'll also note that the budget includes funding for the state to hire a consultant to collect, review, and analyze data related to vehicular pursuits and to compile a report. And the report has to include recommendations to the legislature on what data should be collected by law enforcement agencies throughout the state so that moving forward, there is consistent and uniform information when evaluating policies on pursuits. I'll note two bills that passed this session. House Bill 2311 requires the Criminal Justice Training Commission to create a task force on first responder wellness and develop a 40-hour training program and peer support network. Another one worth highlighting is Senate Bill 5424, which allows law enforcement officers to work part-time hours. I'll also highlight the Community Economic Revitalization Board legislation, House Bill 1982, which codified the Community Economic Revitalization Board CERB rural broadband program in state statute. Additionally, there was no new diversions from the Public Works Assistance Account. And we can go to the next slide. So with the conclusion of session, legislators are back in district, and my advice is to always begin with gratitude. Legislators put their lives on hold for 60 days to do the necessary work of adopting budgets and refining laws, and recognizing their sacrifice definitely goes a long way. So whether you see them at an event or around town, please go out of your way to thank them for serving the city and our state. The mayor and I are also working on planning a ribbon cutting for Lyons Park, where we will invite Othello legislators to join and have an opportunity to thank them specifically for their work to secure funding for the park. Next, there are several state agencies that are charged with implementing grant programs for various purposes. So over the next several months, application windows will be opening up, and the state agencies will then make recommendations to the 2025 legislature on what projects should receive funding. And to be competitive for any funding requests in 2025, it is my strong recommendation that the city apply to applicable grant programs this year. I know you all are working hard to do so already. And even if we're not successful, it demonstrates that the city is taking advantage of opportunities before coming to the legislature for a direct appropriation. And between now and the next legislative session, there will be a campaign cycle where the entire House and half the Senate is up for re-election. There have been several announcements of legislators not running either because of retirements. And we also saw the courts come down with new districts for the upcoming election. And there is a direct impact on Othello because of that. So between now and the 2025 session, we anticipate new legislative faces, not just due to retirements, but due to redistricting. And that reshuffling will also have an impact on the advice and guidance I have for the city as we move forward. We will also have a new governor and several other changes to statewide elected office and potential impacts to state budgets if any of the three initiatives pass. So there are a lot of unknowns about next session, but what we do know is the legislature will have to develop a new biennial budget, and we want to be prepared to take advantage of any opportunities that arise through that process. So as part of our preparation over the next several months, my job is to help the city develop an interim action plan and next steps to continue to elevate top priorities and prepare for the 2025-27 biennial budget development and the 2025 session. And then before we know it, the 2025 legislative session begins on January 13th. It will be the first year of the new biennium, and to prepare for that session, we'll need to update the city's legislative priorities. So with that, I'll just say it's an honor to advocate for the city, and thank you so much for the opportunity to be a part of the Othello team. Happy to take any questions, or if you think of any at a later time, please don't hesitate to reach out. Thank you.
Thank you, Holly. That's excellent. Holly's just been totally invaluable to the city in her effort to continue to advocate for money for the city in our different areas that we're looking at. A couple of years ago, it was for the playground, and then last year, the pre-design, and then this year for design funds for the water treatment plant. Holly, thank you again. Does anybody have any questions for Holly? Okay. Thanks, Holly.
Thank you.
Next time on our agenda is an update on the community swimming pool. And tonight I have city staff, our public works director, Kurt Carpenter, and he has a presentation that he wants to review with the public and with the city council.
Evening, council. Kurt Carpenter, public works director. I've been tasked to bring back information more on the pool after the last meeting in regards to our findings when we hired a contractor to replace tile and do some repairs on the liner, and further investigations, we found issues. So tonight I did some research. We had staff members that helped, two certified pool operators that are on staff, the new city engineer, Robin Adolfson, Cameron, training engineer, myself, and the contractor that we had on board to do some repairs. So the best way to kind of explain the findings, I went back through the old files of construction of the pool in 2007. This is the piping plan. So all these lines in here are your pressure pipes. This is the vault that has the makeup water in it. This is what's called the lap pool. This is the lazy river, and this is the tots, or the play area, shallow end. So as I'm explaining some of this stuff, this is the east side of the pool. This is the north. This is the south. You can go ahead. Next slide. This is some of the piping, the way it was installed. This particular piping, I believe, is irrigation. This picture shows some deviations in the pipe that doesn't even meet state specs. It's greater than allowed per section of pipe. There's no bedding, there's rocks. This one, the pipe's laying on top of the pipe. There's no separation. You can go to the next slide. This is some more of the pressure piping. As you can see, it's all laid in rock, no bedding, pipes laying on top of each other. This does not meet any kind of means of any kind of construction. There should be 6 inches of bedding between each of these pipes. They're all rubbing on each other. Any kind of movement in the soil, these are going to break. You can go to the next slide. Here's another example, pressure piping resting on top of another pressure pipe. This one shows a compression coupler, which is used a lot, or used to be used a lot in irrigation lines that are shallow. These particular lines, these are brand new lines, and they're buried underneath the deck of the pool. And it's just a compression coupler, not good construction practice. You can go to the next. Here's some more slides. These are pressure pipes going in between the Lazy River and the lap pool. You can see here, pipe laying on top of pipe, and they use schedule 80 instead of schedule 40, thinking that's gonna strengthen that pipe sitting on top of that other one. That'd be my guess is why they used one section of schedule 80 there. You also have a little bit of schedule 80 here. There's some electrical conduit in that trench. You have these pipes, pressure pipes, laying on top of each other. Go ahead and go to the next slide. These are all the pressure pipes going into the mechanical room and coming out to the pool. These are all the main pipes running your pressure pipes, and these are the pipes that run to the pressure pipes that run to the shallow end. And they're resting right on top of these pipes. These pipes were poured into the wall. There's no flexible coupler in there. And this is schedule 40 pipe, so any movement out here is gonna shear those pipes. You can see they've got electrical conduit laying on top of the water pipe. There's just pipes laying on top of pipes here. Go ahead and go to the next slide. This is that same picture from a different angle. You can see how they're all bridged on top of this pipe. And there should be what they call link seal or rubber type seal or grouted in. There should be a steel sleeve or grouted in. So there's some flexibility there. That pipe will just shear off. You can see electrical conduit in the same trench as all the water pipes. Move on to the next one. Again, pipes running into the buildings. These are all pressure pipes laying on top of each other, no bedding. Go to the next slide. These are all the pipes running between the mechanical room and the holding tank or the makeup water tank. You can see here, again, they're just laid pipes on top of pipes. You got a guy back here trying to chink in bedding between them with a shovel. Go to the next slide. Some more compression fittings that are buried underneath the deck of the pool. We have no access to any of this piping. Let's go to the next one. These particular pipes are running in below, above the other ones that we showed you, and these are poured in concrete. And again, they ran through concrete wall without any kind of flexible joint. So any movement here or here, these pipes are going to shear. They're just schedule 40. Again, here's pipe laying on top of pipe. These are actually the stainless forms structures for the outside of, or the outside structure of the liner of the pool. This is the south end. So in the, there's a drain that comes right here. It comes back this way. It's a 4-inch pipe, and I'll show you in the next picture. I think it is in the next one. This is that same wall I was showing you. It's all backfilled. This is the new construction. This is Felipe and Chon trying to pull a string line here. This is out 3 inches. You can see the curve in the wall. So the structure's failing on the south end, the deep end. For the next slide, I think it has that. This is the 90 that I was showing you on that deep end. This is actually the return for the filtration system. This pipe is actually, there's glue inside that crack. That was installed broken. 2007. So it has leaked from day one. All of our liner, the structure is failing underneath the liner. So all, every connection, everything is torn and pulled away. The liner from the structure. And go to the next slide. Okay, this is the shallow end, which where all the play toys are and everything. Look at, this is a concrete floor from wall to wall. So this is a solid concrete support underneath the liner. And you, this is, you can see here, and these are guys pouring the deck. So you can go to the next slide. This is Felipe walking along this wall. This concrete has cracked the whole floor and dropped 2 to 3 inches. So your whole support and crumbled along that wall. So the water's been running in there with the chlorine and the acids and eating up all the concrete structure underneath the liners. So you can go to the next slide. This is how they placed the piping in that shallow end, later on top of just indigenous material, rocks and whatnot. And then it's poured into a controlled density, which is like a one sack concrete mix. And then there's that solid concrete slab that goes over the top of that. This piping here, none of it will hold a 5 pound test. It's all encased in concrete. Go to the next one. This is the lap pool, the end. This is all connected into the liner. So all those tiles, you can see here, what I was told when I came on a couple years ago, I was told that swimming team blocks were breaking the tile on the deep end on that edge. And come to in reality, this pool's been moving. That's what's creating all these cracks and chipped tile. It's the structure underneath is been sacrificed. And by the structure underneath this liner, it's pulling on the liner. That's what's tearing it away. You can see the displacement of these tiles. That's from the walls moving. You can go to the next slide. I think there's one more, isn't there? That's it. Okay. Go back one slide. There was a, thought I had one with the liner that was.
It was the one where Felipe's standing there.
Well, there was, maybe it was the one with Felipe standing.
It was on the right hand side.
On the right hand side.
Yeah, right there.
Okay.
To the right.
Right here. This is in the lap pool on the deep end. The reason this liner is sagging so bad, it's the structure's gone underneath. It's stretching it. It's crumbled underneath there. If you go underneath where there's holes and fingers, there's no solid concrete. It just crumbs. I've been following the water losses. When I first started here, the staff was telling me that we have leaks. It's losing water. So I got a water report of our makeup water from day one back when I first started 2 years ago. And I just kind of took it as a common use water every year. And then the last couple of years, I've been kind of monitoring it, and we doubled in makeup water just in 1 year. So even from day one, this pool has been leaking. It's 167,000 gallon pool. So if you figure the piping and the makeup tank, maybe 200,000, you know, you can figure, the first year we used 1.5 million gallons. It was leaking from day one. Makeup water should be a ratio about 1.5 to 1 in this area. It increased pretty consistent until there's kind of a phenomenon in 2019. But it doesn't look like it was used much. And then 2020, the pool was closed. And then immediately in 2021, we used 5.5 million gallons. And then it progresses drastically. Last year, we used 34 million gallons. That water is going underneath the liner, going in the pool, sacrificing the structure of this pool. So it's kind of doomed from day one. in my professional opinion. So, any questions?
So, is that metered? Are we metering that?
That is metered. We fill it off a meter on a hydrant. I'm not counting the fill in those gallons. That's makeup water. It's on a meter, and it fills that tank on a float. So.
Well, there's no way to month by month know what we're losing.
Yeah, she can break it out month by month. It's only 2.5 months.
But if we're losing that much, why didn't we catch it before? If there were 34 million gallons.
Well, I caught it last year. I've only been here. I don't know why it wasn't caught earlier, to tell you the truth.
We were like 5.7 million the first year.
You were 1.5 million the first year. That should have been a red flag right off the bat.
A lot of water. Mm-hmm.
I can't explain it. I mean, I took it as when I came on as that was a common, you know, I didn't really investigate because I didn't know how bad it was. And then last year, I'm like, this is a big loss. I should be able to find that. That's a big leak. Well, the problem is it's leaking everywhere. It's not one big leak. It's everywhere. So.
I guess I'd like to make a few comments to the community. While we know that there were other people involved in this before we were, we're still going to accept the responsibility for it because that's who has the responsibility is us. I guess if you know, because the question I would ask if I was asking elected officials, you know, what happened? How did you let this happen? And I guess my response is we just did not recognize what was taking place in front of us. And we didn't understand how desperate the situation really was until this year. But now we've recognized it. And we are going to have to close the pool. And I realize the swim team 3 weeks ago was planning on putting together a champs event here. And what makes this so difficult is that I don't even know if the swim team can even go to champs. Because they have to have a place to practice. They have to have a place to be able to swim. And in some ways, we've let you down. And you can't get that time back. And we recognize that. We accept responsibility for that. And so I do want to say, though, that on behalf of the city, you have some really good city councilors around this table. They're problem solvers. They're experienced. They're businessmen. They're involved in public works types projects. If there was any way that we were looking for any way we could even band-aid this together for one more year, and apparently we've been band-aiding it to get through the year for the last other than the year of COVID, probably the last 5 years. But every one of these counselors are problem solvers. Your mayor and staff continually are looking for grant money. And we will come back to the community with some solutions. But for now, the news tonight's grim. And as you can see, this started from the very beginning and it lasted 17 years, surprisingly. But when we go to build a new pool, We want to build something that'll last 30 to 35 years. So with that, I'll take anybody's questions from the audience. Will you step to the microphone, please?
Oh, it's turned around.
And turn the microphone around. Yeah.
So I'm just curious. Pool's definitely closed. There's no options. It's really, the numbers don't lie. 1.5 to 34 million gallons of water. That's a lot. We don't know whether or not we'll even have a pool in next year. Like curiosity, is that has been even talked about whether or not we'll even have a pool for 2025? No,
we haven't discussed
that. Because for us, it's basically champs, and we're trying to figure out. That's basically how our Swinton works. We've been kind of struggling because COVID year happened. That was supposed to be our champs year. We're supposed to be able to get revenue from that and keep that swim team alive. So now it's another, not COVID, but unfortunately, you know, the pool is closed. So just trying to figure out so we could, do you guys know when, by when we'll have, whether or not we'll have an idea if or when we'll have a pool anytime soon, or not anytime soon, but again, I'm looking like just trying to see whether or not we'll, so we could tell like basically the other teams, like what's going on, what's happening, and whether or not we'll even, you know, whether or not we could postpone it, because we haven't been actually doing this for 3 weeks. We've been actually since September, we've been actually meeting. For champs, like we've been planning, getting together, and so I know you guys barely put on the books, but this hasn't been 3 weeks. It's been.
What was your name?
Antonio Martinez.
Or Antonio.
Officially, yeah, or Tony.
Tony, yeah, Tony. We, it's kind of a shock to, your city council. It's a kind of a shock to, us and to give you some answers. Realistically, this pool needs to be torn out and rebuilt. And we're going to have to find financing for that, which means the last pool, that this one that was built, was financed with a bond issue where the public voted to pay for a new pool for the community. But in order to do that, we're going to have to identify just what needs to be removed and what, in other words, further investigation is going to take place. And then new plans would have to be drawn. I know one of the things that the swim team had wished when this was built is that we would have had a full-size pool rather than the short lap pool.
And my next question.
Yeah.
Whether or not I can, that would ask, be, can we do this in 8-lane and then you know, more of a traditional size and possibly enclosed, but that's a whole different issue. I mean Othello needs a swim team.
Well, so, we would, like, Tony, we would have a public process where we would invite members of the public, specifically the swim team, parents, and you know, putting together a design that meets the needs of the entire, not just the swim team, but the rest of the community. That would be the city council's goal.
Is there anything the city can do to help the swim team find a temporary home? Like talking to whether it's Moses Lake or Connell, if they've got time that we could get them scheduled in someplace.
I was going to, visit with the city administrator, Connell. Would make it really nice on the parents would be if we could get people-to-people
van that would pick up the kids, take them to Connell. They'd finish their route in Tri-Cities and then turn around, come back and pick the kids up and bring them back to Othello. That's in an ideal world, Tony. I don't know whether we can arrange that, but we can certainly intervene on your behalf to try and put some of those things together. Even though you can't hold champs this year, I don't want the kids who swim to not have a chance to be able to swim in champs and swim. And you might have to, is Connell part of your?
No, I know they, I was talking to my wife last night and she was like, Connell had a pool, but we're not sure if it's working condition or if it's up or not. Our second thing would be Moses Lake.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think their fee might be too high for us. Again, we're I'm not as a swim team, whether or not we would be able to afford that. Mainly because, again, we barely made ends meet last time. We did a lot of sponsors and stuff like that. So we were able to keep the Barracuda swim team up in a float. And Chance was supposed to be like, all right, now we can relax. Mm-hmm. And we can pass the baton to the next generation.
Mm-hmm. Tony, will you leave your contact information with our deputy clerk, Yvonne, and I'll contact you later this week as I make some progress, okay?
Awesome, thank you. I'm not sure how to do this, so I just don't.
Sure. Yeah, do you want to come to the microphone, please?
Sharon Schutte, 555 South 19th Avenue, Othello.
Okay.
I just wondered if Mr. Carpenter could give me a letter, because my granddaughters and my daughter-in-law and I, we went around, and another person from on our team, they sent letters out. And so we have contacted many of our local businesses. And now we have to go back and tell them and give them back their money for the ads for the booklet. And I would like a letter that says, gives the information so that I can pass it to them. So it doesn't make me look like, and my grandkids look like, what were you doing going around thinking there was gonna not be a pool?
The mayor will sign a letter.
So I do think, don't you think? I mean, I will take it back personally. That means spending a whole, we went 3 days the week before. We stopped when we heard that there was a possibility, we weren't sure. But I have gotten money in from businesses in Othello that graciously gave us ads. So I need something. That's okay, guys. Okay, thank you.
I think the city should make a declaration.
Yeah.
Make it official. If you're gonna actually do, you know, do no pool this year, close it down. That we should be upfront with the public and tell them in a declaration of what has transpired and why we're doing this. And
it's not
maybe if some indication of what we might do in the future to remedy this situation. I know that that's going to take time.
Yep.
But we do have funding for water features at Kiwanis Park, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We are going to be building a
splash pad
at Kiwanis Park. So maybe in the future when we're looking at this facility that we look at putting in diving boards, putting in maybe a tower for diving,
mm-hmm.
and make it an athletic type of pool that can be used as a pool but yet be used to support a community swimming
My hope would be that we could,
you know, so that we could do diving and we could do
covered
platform diving and mm-hmm. and high dives and things like that, as long as well as swimming itself, maybe something a little more professional. That's the only thing I have to say about it.
Yeah,
I wish there was something we could do in the short term. It was my concern that this event was going on, and I did bring it up at the meeting before. And
I feel very badly about it, mm-hmm. that we're doing this to them.
My heart goes out to the kids. I'm devastated by this. It's hard, and it's a shock to all of us too. Tony.
Yeah, Tony.
John Getz was talking about, it would be really great if we could actually have a year-round swimming pool somehow, if that's even possible. I think Othello will benefit a lot. We have a lot of great swimmers. She moved somewhere differently, but she basically swam, got scholarships, went to basically UCLA, I believe.
Natalie Reese.
I know my son would have benefited, my oldest. I'll have a bunch of sons who basically would benefit from it. Unfortunately, my last one's a senior. Or actually, I have four, I should say. I have one who probably would benefit. I mean, I see several swimmers here who would benefit. That's scholarships for them, so they could basically utilize and go forward. It just, I know it's asking a lot, but an official size swimming pool with 8 lanes, full size. But again, it has to be enclosed. If Kiwanis like has a, I'm not sure what that was, but
it's a splash pad. It's a toys. It's a place where kids can go and actually enjoy
water.
So
that would be, you know, like two separate things. So it would kind of be cool, like summertime, and then we have the official one. I don't even know how an enclosed swimming pool would work during summertime, because honestly, but it would still be fun. I mean, I think the hotel school district needs a swimming, like a swimming team. That's what I'm trying to say. I mean, we even fathomed the thought of taking our kid out and taking them to Moses Lake just to swim with them the last year. But just last year was COVID again. But that's what it is. I was just going off of that. We could actually somehow, that if that's feasible or even in a budget, I know I have no idea how expensive that is. But I think in the end, I think the community will benefit from it more than anything.
Good, Tony. Is there anyone else from the community?
As devastating as it is right now for the kids, I think one of the major issues I see is upcoming. I'm guessing that we probably haven't paid off the bond for this pool if it's at 17 years right now, or at least we're probably close to paying off. But you're going to go back to the community here shortly and try to get a larger bond issuance for a replacement pool, which I think everybody would hope that it's larger and more dynamic than what we have right now. But the reality is, in our town, it's hard to pass those kind of bonds. And I think I'm not stating that anybody wouldn't do it, but you need to aggressively look for grants and whatnot to try to lessen this burden on the community. It's not, you know, I'm not saying it's anybody's fault here, but it's not the community's fault either that this happened, and they're going to be the ones that have to pick up the bill if something else isn't taken care of. So please keep that in mind as you think of what you're going to try to do to remedy the problem that we have up there. And I'm Craig Simpson at 550 North 13th Avenue.
I believe it's already tossed around that we do want to find grants to help ease that burden. And then if we have to go to bond for the balance. Oh, did we pay off the pool already?
Or are we just right at the end? I think we've got 3 more years. This year and 2 more.
Okay. Well, what was the deal that we did with Adams County Public Works? Not the Public Works, but the
Parks.
Park and Rec District?
Park and Rec District.
We, in that agreement, we had agreed to pay them so much a year in order for them to run the bond issue. And so we would probably go back to them.
But we
again.
Finalized that, didn't we? That yeah. was part of what we did.
Yeah, right. But that didn't pay off all the bonds.
This is kind of what we were talking about earlier today. So the city no longer had bond payments that it makes as a part of this recent purchase. But the So the Park and Rec District, they still have their set of bonds that they're playing. And so that's the badge.
Well, I definitely think we should involve our lawyer. If this pool was damaged from day one, and we can prove that it was not done to, you know, a code that it was needed to be done at, that we may have action. I don't even know if they exist anymore after 17 years, but if they're in business, we need to get something back from them.
Our city attorney is on the line. Hillary, do you have a comment?
The odds of us being within the statute of limitations to be able to collect on something that was built so long ago is slim to none, but I'm happy to look at the documentation and when everything was completed and when we would have learned of any defects, and we can talk through it. But I'm not optimistic. I'll just put that out there.
Okay. Thank you, Hillary.
But we had lots of correspondence with them. We had them coming back and doing work on that pool. Annually. So if there was, I mean, if there's a record of what they continually did to remedy what they gave us, there should be actionable items. First, let's find out
some more information. Yeah. Okay. Is there any other comments from anybody tonight? Really sorry. We're just, honestly, as Gina said, we're devastated that this is where we find ourselves in. And so we're going to do our best to dig our way out of this and put together a new pool. So with that, I'd like to move on to item 4D, which is an executive session for potential litigation. We'll go into executive session at 7:05 and we will reconvene at 7:25 p.m. So with that, there's no action will be taken during the executive session. So I got to read this now. Council adjourning at 7:05 to go into executive session pursuant to RCW 4230.110.1I to discuss with legal counsel representing agency matters related to agency enforcement actions, or to discuss with legal counsel representing the agency litigation or potential litigation to which the agency, the governing body, or a member acting in an official capacity is or likely to become a party when public knowledge regarding the discussion is likely to result in an adverse legal or financial consequence to the agency. The executive session is expected to last until 7:25 p.m. No action will be taken during the executive session. Okay, I'd like Dave, our police chief, and Spencer to stay. Yvonne, I need